Welcome to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast with Jamie Rodriguez. A trip of music discovery, Jamie is picking people he thinks you'll really like. Musicians, artists, producers, and everyone involved in the world of music. Here's your host, Jamie Rodriguez.
One is the loneliest number that you'll ever do. Hey, how are ya? I'm just one dude sitting in a room bringing you some fresh talent. I'm Jamie Rodriguez, your host of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast, this and every episode, music journalist for over 16 years now. It's been an incredible summer for us. We've covered some amazing music on the road, got great footage for our music documentary we'll be putting out later this year, and lots more, you know, friends, family, all that great stuff that happens on the road. So yeah, I wanted to start this episode with gratitude. And then the next thing is to play you some super talent, because I have a newish artist on the scene that is going to have you like, hey, Jamie, how did you even find this guy? How do you do it, huh? How do you do it? But yeah, this is our guy, Jordan Fletcher. Unbelievable, guys. This is a guy that, I mean, you probably have already heard his name because he has burst onto the scene. Triple Tigers artist, Jordan Fletcher. And yeah, I mean, he first came into my attention with a really great single called Death and Taxes. SiriusXM Highway Find Artist 2021. His debut EP, True Stories, is out now. And in his own words, and this is his own Jordan's words, and I quote, "When you listen to me, I hope you think, this dude went through that? That makes me feel better. I want my music to be therapeutic. I want to give you a soundtrack to your life by giving you the soundtrack to mine." I mean, what a beautiful thing to say. And that's exactly what Jordan accomplishes in his songs. Dad, husband, surfer, and a believer. And it's the reason why he's got millions of streams. He's touring the country with the likes of Muscadine, Bloodline, and Kip Moore. And this is why everybody is loving him. He's very relatable and his music is great. So happy to have Jordan on the show. You're going to find out more, a lot about him in this interview, we hope. If you want to, you know, see his tour dates and maybe check out his merch and just kind of like see what's up with him, jordanfletcherofficial.com. So without further ado, let's get on with it. Welcome to a new episode of J-Rod Concerts, the podcast.
Hey, what's up, man?
How are you doing, Jordan Fletcher?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
Where are you coming to us from, Jordan? Look at that compound.
I am... Is that good? Cool. I am in Nashville, Tennessee. Where are you at?
You're in Nashville. Same, in the Gulch. For some reason, okay. It looks like there's more light where you are, though.
Well, so I am outside. Yeah, I mean, it's hanging on there. It'll be here for another 30 or 45 minutes, and then I'll probably have to go inside.
I love it, Jordan, man. And by the way, dude, True Stories, what a great album, dude, and what a great artist you are, man. Super stoked to have you on the show, man.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm excited we get to do this.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Jordan. And I got to ask you, like, your career is fascinating, you know, but I got to ask you, you're hitting the road soon. You're hitting to Sioux City in mid-May and a bunch of places. But I got to ask you with this, like, how is it back to be like on tour? I feel like things are getting back to normal, almost 100% with a baby and a family now, right? Because like, you know, you've been a hard touring guy for a long time. You've toured with friends in Nashville, you know, in North Florida. But now you got a baby. You're a married man. How have things changed then?
Well, obviously that's a big reason to want to stay at home, right? But I mean, also it's part of doing business, right? So it's like if you have a touring career, then you have a functioning business, a business that allows you to keep doing what you're doing to bring in revenue to take care of your family and stuff like that. So it's kind of like a necessity at the time, and I'm thankful to get to do it. But it's hard, man. It's hard being away from the little kid and being away from my family. But my wife is a rock star. I mean, she's back at work and doing all this stuff. So anytime I'm gone, I try to get back as quick as I can. Cause when I'm gone, she's got a whole handful, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's a whole different world, man.
Absolutely, man. And those are your daughter, right? It's a she, right?
So it's a boy. We had a boy. His name's Maverick, and he's a year and a half now.
Oh, man, I love it. Is he already conscious that his daddy can sing and play guitar like nobody's business, or no?
I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows that. But, I'll take your word for it. But I'll play some songs for him, and he'll start dancing. He loves to dance. We'll do like this little dance party in the morning. My wife started doing that, and she'll just put on some whatever music, like oldies, hip hop, country, whatever. And he'll just find whatever the beat is. He starts running around, jumping to it, and stuff like that. So it's kind of crazy to see that he's already kind of got a little sense of rhythm to him. It's,
hell yeah.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
I love it, dude. And, you know, speaking of him, you know, we pivot to the new album because, I mean, the theme of the album, and we were listening to it in research a few days ago with my producer, like for 8 hours, we listened to it. We loved it, man. And we were like just thinking how personal it is. It's like a diary, man. And like the story behind it. I mean, for my audience that may not know, I mean, your father passed when you were 11 years old. Do you remember a lot about your father, Jordan?
No, really, I don't, man. I mean, the hard thing is with that, and the hard thing is that he died when I was 11, and he got sick when I was 9. So really, the majority of my memories of my dad can like happen between 9 and 11.
Yeah.
And he was sick, and a lot of that was hard memories. And I think I forgot them, and, you know, out of self-defense, I think that's what your brain does. I think it can kind of shield you from hard memories because sure. He went downhill pretty bad, you know, and it's hard to see somebody that you love like that.
Absolutely.
So no, I don't really have a ton of direct memories. I have stories from family members and uncles and aunts and, you know, my mom and my sister, because my sister's older than me. So she remembers, you know, dad as a dad. So, yeah. I'll get bits and pieces here and there, but I mean, kind of this album ended up being just like the response to that. Cause it's like having a kid and having a son of my own. It's like you kind of reflect a little bit of your own experiences. And obviously I'm not planning on going anywhere. I try and stay healthy, but you know, I just wouldn't want my son to be in that position if something were to happen to me. I want him to know me, you know, as best as I can show it, you know, scars and all. So, I mean, that's kind of the whole point of this album. And it just so happened that the label was excited about it and everybody's jumping on board with it, which is just so surreal that people are interested in something like this.
Absolutely. Well, because I think what you're doing, Jordan, here is you're sending a very positive message that we all need. And it's, you know, like to really cherish our loved ones. You know what I mean? And it's like, and like, I know after listening to your stuff, I called my dad, you know, and like, you know, and I think people are just like, man, you know what? With everything that's going on the past 2 years, like what matters is what you're talking about in this record. That's why it strikes a chord. That's why it's so great. And that's why it's going to have a lot of success because it goes to a core value, man. It's really wonderful stuff there.
Thank you so much for saying that, man. I couldn't be more excited that it's getting out. And honestly, like even creatively, I say this a lot, but like a lot of these songs are smarter than I am. A lot of these songs are better than I am. I think that songs are given to you. I think God gives you these songs. And it's just a matter of waking up and seeing kind of what I always say, like what comes across my desk in the morning, you know, if it's an idea or a guitar lick or something like that. So it's like the fact that these songs exist the way they do, I like them as a consumer, which is a huge thing because as a songwriter, you can kind of detach yourself from that part of your brain a little bit because you're so concerned about what people are listening to that you don't think like, what do I want to listen to?
Yeah.
So I've gotten time to kind of sit back and go, yeah, I like the way this sounds. Yeah, I love the way that they've been recorded. You know, I love everything about this. And if I was not the guy singing it, I would be just as excited that the project was coming out. You know what I mean? Which is an awesome place to be.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely, you know? Jordan. And, you know, I mean, your story is fascinating, dude. And right, you know, right now people look at you in your Instagram, like doing covers and you're going on tour, you're playing, you know, Wisconsin, you're playing Kansas in the summer, all these great things. But in your story, man, I mean, like when you were playing drums for like Joe Fournier, for example, right? A lot of people don't know this, like the hustle, like the hard days, like it's hard work, right, Jordan? I mean, you were like, you know, you were renting U-Hauls, you were driving them around. Like it was like kind of a pain in the ass a little, right? Like a lot of hard work to get to this point.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, it's part of the thing. I think, like I said, this whole thing has been like divine timing because it's like, I think I was young enough and, you know, kind of dumb enough to really put the effort in. I didn't know enough to, you know, say yes or no. It was just yes to everything. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think there's that sweet spot in your, and I hope to keep a lot of that. Sorry. I hope to keep a lot of that just like kind of bright eyed, like optimism to the industry as long as I can, Sure. Because I still feel like I'm not smart enough to, you know, do this, you know, do this right. But like, I think back then it was even more that it was just like, I couldn't do anything. I didn't know how to do anything. The reality was I had no experience with doing any of this stuff. And so it was just a matter of like kind of gritting your teeth and someone being like, hey, you want to do this? And knowing that you have no idea how to do it and just kind of being like, yeah, no problem. Acting like you've done it before, kind of the fake it till you make it. And yeah, it was a lot of that. We were having a good time. It was, you know, younger years and it was hard. It was a lot of sleepless nights and a lot of, you know, a lot of learning what not to do and learning what to do. So I'm thankful for it, but yeah, it was definitely the road dog years. That's kind of how I look at it. You know,
man, and it's interesting, you know, a quote you said the other day, it connects with, we actually heard Chris Martin of Coldplay say that after all these years, he still gets nervous before he hits the stage. Like he still is as nervous now as when he started in the UK. And, you know, you've talked about how, like, when you first started, it was almost like not fun for you because you didn't feel confident in your abilities. Right. But like when I see you on stage, when we see you live, like on YouTube and concerts, man, like you own the stage. Do you still get nervous? You know what I mean? Like, how do you channel that?
Man, I get very nervous. I get really, really nervous, man. I think the one thing that's changed, though, is there is a level of confidence that comes with being prepared. Like there's just there's no way to like replace that, you know. I think it just took enough time because as a drummer, I mean, I'm a competent drummer. I'm not the best drummer by any means, but right. If you needed me to do something, I could do it. So I know what it means to kind of be comfortable with an instrument to where you can at least do what you need to do and do it well. And so I knew the hardest part was going on stage, knowing that you weren't there yet. Now, once you get to a point to where you're comfortable and confident and competent on whatever level, that's when it's going, it goes from like, holy smokes, just help me get through this thing, God, just like, let me get this 45 minutes over with and not screw it up, to I'm just nervous because I want to put the best show on for them. Not necessarily a matter of me being like, what am I doing? You know what I mean? Because after a certain amount of time, and I'm sure you get it with podcasts and doing all these kind of things, the first year or 2 years or whatever, however long it takes, it's you know, it's like, well, we're going to do it because that's the only way to learn is just doing it. And then you get to a point to where you have this, you develop your own style, you develop your own artistic expression. And then with that comes confidence and confidence. And I think that's kind of where I'm at. I'm in the confidence building stage, but I still get so nervous before I walk on stage.
Sure, man. I can't imagine. Yeah. But by the way, Jordan, you look amazing. You look like 18. Like you're still not drinking, right?
Not drinking, man. Not drinking at all.
Wow, it's been a minute. How many years now?
Christmas Day was 6 years.
6 years, man. Congratulations, brother.
Yeah. Wait, Christmas Day was, it was Christmas of 2016 that I quit. So what is that?
Six years will be this year.
Five
years. That's great, man. Thanks, look at man. Your energy. You're like a teenager. You're bopping and hopping, man.
I feel good, man.
It's great, dude. It's amazing. What was the breakthrough, you know, Jordan? If you don't mind sharing, like, was it just like a really bad hangover? Like, or like what happened? Like, was there a moment where you said no more?
Yeah, there was a very specific moment. I had been toying with this idea, and I tell a lot of people this. I don't like try and discourage anyone from drinking if they don't have any issues with it. I don't have a problem with alcohol in itself. And I don't have any problem with anybody's relationship with it as long as you're not hurting other people, you know. But I always say, like, if you've got it in your head that you go, I should probably take a break, I would encourage someone to at least try it. Because I was in that point. I moved to Nashville. I've been in Nashville for just 6 months before I quit. So I was just getting to a point where I was getting real heavy. I was like 285 pounds, really unhealthy. I was just, and I stopped being fun when I was getting drunk. Cause that was the thing. My thing wasn't like, hey, let's keep a buzz. It was like, well, let's get there, you know, as quick as we can. And, you know, like the college kind of mindset, and I was living with a bunch of buddies from back in Florida, and we were kind of just living it up pretty hard. And And then Nashville doesn't really discourage that, you know?
Right.
It kind of brought it all to a head. And I think my hangovers were getting really bad, just to be specific. I was just, I'd wake up at 3 a.m. and I wouldn't have had to drink really much at all the night before.
Sure.
Maybe a couple drinks with dinner. And then I'd wake up every morning, 2 or 3 a.m, cold sweats and really dark thoughts, and have to like go take a shower and start my day. And it would like take me days to get out of that mindset. You know what I mean? Like, it was like I was perpetually just in that dark place. And I remember talking to an uncle on Christmas Day at my grandma's house after everyone had eaten. And I remember he was like 15 years sober at the time. And he's now I guess he's 20 something, but he's big in AA. And I just remember him talking about it and being like, I was listening to him kind of, he was talking to my grandpa. And I just told him what I just told you, that I was just feeling these certain ways. And he just looked at me straight in the eyes and he said, man, that's early symptoms of withdrawal. And you probably have a problem. It's genetic. We have a lot of that in our family. So if you want to get involved in AA, just let me know. Told me straight in my face. And it was just like one of those things where I was like, nope, no more. It was just, it was a cool opportunity because it was so abrupt and it seemed like such a necessary thing. And I think I knew that I needed to hang it up before, because I didn't get to a point to where I really hurt. I mean, I didn't hurt anybody. I wasn't hurting myself really up to that point. I was just being a dumb 20, whatever year old. And, I'm thankful that I caught it when I did, because I don't need it. I'm not the guy that needs that.
Yeah.
And I'm way better for it. So I'm super thankful that it happened the way it did and happened when it did.
Absolutely, man. Well, dude, that's good. Yeah. Congratulations on that. And let me ask you about this, Jordan. Thank you for your time. You're being so generous with your time. But
no problem,
let me ask you about like where we are now and like as opposed to 2 years ago when the pandemic started. You know, a lot of people, you know, they became more grateful or they learned certain things. They shed certain things of that they were carrying. You know, what is something like, obviously you became a father, but like how the past, like, you know, Jordan Fletcher 2 years ago to now, how have you like compared, man? How would you compare yourself?
Dude, night and day. But night, I think day, everyone, man. Did. I think you had to do a couple things because there was just so much going on, man. There's so much, just so many social things getting addressed and so many people getting hurt and so many things like that was just creating a lot of trauma for a lot of people. And it just like, you realize that, man, we got to be nicer to each other, you know? And so it just like, it kind of made me want to approach, like, I'm a big Jack Johnson fan. And I think one of my biggest things that I enjoy about the stuff he makes is that there's no ego behind the music.
By the way, he was like your first CD, right? Sorry to interrupt, but he was like your first CD, right? Like you wore that thing too. Yeah, exactly.
To the bone, dude. And to me, it's like, I look at that and I just love the fact that there was never any ego behind it. You listen to it and you don't feel like you need to go, you know, hustle or go make more money or get in better shape or get a better partner or anything. It's like the music was just kind of expressive and people were able to feel certain ways. And I think I kind of was like, because everything was shut down, it's not like I was trying to pitch songs anymore. Nobody was cutting really anything. So we were just writing to write. It was like a really cool like renaissance, I think, because a lot of writer friends of mine, we didn't have a reason to write. I mean, it's not like the songs were going to go anywhere, but we sure wrote every single day. And I mean, it's crazy how that works because, like, you know, we adapted and we did the Zoom thing. And man, like my first major label cut with Riley Green was a Zoom write. And like, it just, what it did was it showed you how much light there can be in a dark place. You know what I mean? You just kind of got to go looking for it. And if you can be, go be one of those lights. So, man, I think, again, I say this isn't unique to me. I think a lot of people were able to reassess, reevaluate, and be like, I've been way too busy for too long. Like, this is too much busy for not what I'm trying to get to. And it allows you to go, this is what's important. This is what I need to do. This is why I do what I do. And I'm just going to do that. And if it causes you kind of miss that FOMO thing. It just kind of went away. You just lost the FOMO thing because it doesn't matter really, you know? So I think in a long way, that's the answer.
No, dude, it's a great answer. Absolutely. Life doesn't happen to us. It happens for us. Right.
There you go.
That's what you've been saying. And Yeah, man. I mean, dude, in your songwriting, I mean, just to finish things off, man, not only in your new album, but like if you go back to like Smoke, you know, Smoke Out the Window and all this stuff, man, like it is so darn great, man. So I got to ask you, how do you write a song? Because like songs like Smoke Out the Window, you know, like so many like that you do, man, they're like every word is so perfect. And I'm curious, like are you in the Nashville mindset where you have to like hammer them out? Like very like disciplined, like you go to the gym every day, a couple songs, or sure. Man, or do these beautiful songs come to you when you are with Maverick in the park, you know, with your wife eating ice cream at Jenny's or whatever, and like you get the inspiration.
Man, I like I said, I think so. I'm gonna try and make this a short answer because if I don't know how you write a song, because it happens every like it happens different every time. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I will say, it's a mixture of all those things. I'm thankful that I've learned how to write songs in Nashville because I think the best songwriters on the planet come from Nashville, Tennessee.
True.
I think the system is it's systematic. It's very structured in a lot of ways. And I think that's such a good way for people to learn how to speak the language of songwriting. Not to say that I'm an expert in it, but like you get your because I like to talk about it as a language. You know, you get comfortable with the language. You develop your style, your accent, if you will, whatever. And I think that comes from the five songs a week thing to where, this, you know, you just learn how to do the thing so that when you do get one of those ideas, when it does come through and it's like, man, that's something special. The distance between thought and expression is shorter because you did the work beforehand. You went and worked out before the game. You understand what I'm saying? It's like, and I think that's a big part of just being able to capture what it is. And the other thing is I get to write with great songwriters, man. Like if my songs are really good or people like it, I stumble into it. You know what I mean? Like these songs, like I said, are smarter than me. They're better than me. And I think every bit of it is a blessing. But I think the biggest part of it is a level of optimism. To know that whatever you're working on can be turned into a really great song, no matter what it is, and just kind of running into it with that mindset. You really have to love it, I think. And I think you have to just kind of have that thing of being like, I'm going to find a way to put a part of me, if not all of me, into this song and get it to someone. Oh, man, I think that's at the end of the day, that's the main goal. It's communication and expressing yourself. As well as you can, I think.
Oh, yeah, man. Well said. So in other words, also like for you to come up with a song like, you know, Rather Be Broke or Steal Those Kids, if the inspiration can come, but you have to be ready. Like you have to be disciplined so that like when the time comes, you know what to do with that moment, basically.
Right. Well, and that's the way I look at it. Like if I wanted to learn Spanish, learn Spanish, I would learn words that I don't need to know at the moment. I would learn donde está la biblioteca. I don't need to know where the library is. I don't need to know where the library is. I'll never need to know where the library is.
Right.
But I need to learn the books. I need to learn the videos. I need to take the classes. And then if I want to apply it, I go to a Spanish speaking country. And that's when you become proficient in the language. And in my mind, it's like, if you are trying to just put it down to nuts and bolts of how do you learn how to write songs? You write songs, you write a million bad songs until you accidentally get a good one. And then you try and figure out what was good about that one and you keep chasing it. And then if you get to a point to where you feel comfortable, you say, what kind of music do I like? And then start creating that.
Epic. Jordan Fletcher, man, we could talk to you for 17 hours, man. You've said it all for today, dude. What a great talent. Awesome. What a great album, man. True Stories, the EP, man. It's just an absolute delight. You're going to be touring. People should catch you live, man. But thank you so much for your time, brother. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on here, man. It was a blast, dude. Thanks.
Yep. Thanks. Bye.
See you, bro.
You've been listening to J-Rod Concerts, the podcast with Jamie Rodriguez.